and welcome to Sunday Showcase. I am Damiano Pietropaolo, and it is my pleasure to welcome once again Richard Manette, the Artistic Director of the Stratford Festival of Canada. Hello, Richard.
Good evening, Damiano.
Well, here we are in our seventh week of this wonderful summer Stratford Festival series, and tonight we have Act 2 of Romeo and Juliet, building towards the climax of this wonderful love story, perhaps the greatest love story ever written. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would.
One of the things that makes this production wonderful is the music by composer Marc Desormeaux, a very evocative score. How much do you think the music affects the performances?
Well, I think it's a very important element in a Shakespeare production, because Shakespeare has so much music and so much talk about music in his plays.
So in your rehearsals, when would the music be introduced?
Well, the music is introduced quite late, actually, because you have to see the production unfold before you can really write the music. You write bits, but you don't know how long the scene changes are going to be. They have to be timed, and you can't do that unless the whole production's ready to go. So it's introduced quite late in the process, and it's very skilled work, because not everybody can compose for the theater, because you have to compose in such a way that if the scene change suddenly goes from 16 seconds to 8 seconds, you have to cut the music off, and it's quite complex sometimes.
You have quite a long rehearsal process, don't you?
Yes, I believe they began rehearsing Romeo and Juliet in mid-February, and the opening night was the last week in May. But they don't rehearse this every day. They're rehearsing two other plays, usually, the actors. So they rehearse Romeo and Juliet every 2 days a week.
So when the time comes to meet an audience, how ready are they?
I think they're very ready, because there's a very long gestation period, you know, because we are rehearsing so many plays at once, and, you know, you have 2.5 months, sometimes 3, to think about what you're doing. The audience, of course, is why we are doing the plays. You know, plays on the shelf are literature, plays on the stage are theater.
That's
so
life.
Yes. So without the audience, you don't have theater. What the audience tells you, especially in a comedy, is where the laughs are, because you cannot fabricate this. What we, as artists and actors, fellow actors, laugh at is never what the audience laughs at. The audience laughs at plot, for example. Well, the actors know the plot, and they don't find it remotely funny.
But over the long run of a play like Romeo and Juliet, does the audience have an influence on the actors?
Sometimes they do, yes. Especially, as I said, in a comedy, because you're telling the story in a room with live people in a room sitting down. So they do affect, you know, the weather affects. If it's raining, they all think they've got pneumonia, so they cough. If it's too hot, they, you know, they're freezing, and they, when they come into the theaters, and I've never understood this mysterious thing, but collectively, an audience can decide to be brilliant, or have a common sense of humor. Everybody, one night you come out and everybody's laughing at everything, and you think, oh, this group has a collective sense of humor.
Our audience is spread out across the country, not together in a theater, and are ready, I think, to listen to part two of Romeo and Juliet. Thank you, Richard Manette. We'll talk to you next week. Here is Romeo and Juliet, directed for the Stratford Festival of Canada by Miles Potter.
the sun advance his burning eye, the day to cheer and night's dank dew to dry, I must upfill this osier cage of ours with baleful weeds and precious juice of flowers. Oh, mighty is the powerful grace that lies in plants, herbs, stones and their true qualities. For not so vile that on the earth doth live, but to the earth some special good doth give. Nor aught so good but strained from that fair use revolts from true birth, stumbling on abuse. Virtue itself turns vice, being misapplied, and vice sometimes by action dignified. Within the infant rind of this weak flower, poison hath residence, and medicine power. For this, being smelt, with that part cheers each part. Being tasted, stays all senses with the heart. Two such opposed kings encamp them still in man, as well as herbs, grace and rude will. And where the worser is predominant, full soon the canker death eats up that plant.
Good morrow, father.
Benedicite, what early tongue so sweet saluteth me? Young son, it argues a distempered head so soon to bid good morrow to thy bed. Therefore thy earliness doth me assure thou art uproused with some distemperature. Or if not so, then here I hit it right. Our Romeo hath not been in bed tonight.
At last is true, the sweeter rest was mine.
God pardon sin. Wast thou with Rosaline?
With Rosaline? My ghostly father, no. I have forgot that name and that name's woe.
That's my good son. But where hast thou been, then?
I'll tell thee ere thou ask it me again. I have been feasting with mine enemy, where on a sudden one hath wounded me that's by me wounded. Both are remedies within thy help and holy physic lie.
Be plain, good son, and homely in thy drift. Riddling confession finds but riddling shrift.
Then plainly know, my heart's dear love is set on the fair daughter of rich Capulet. As mine on hers, so hers is set on mine, and all combined, save what thou must combine by holy marriage. When and where and how we met, we wooed, we made exchange of vow, I'll tell thee as we pass, but this I pray, that thou consent to marry us today.
Holy Saint Francis, what a change is here! Is Rosaline that thou didst love so dear, so soon forsaken? Young men's love then lies not truly in their hearts, but in their eyes. Jesu Maria, what a deal of brine hath washed thy sallow cheeks for Rosaline. How much salt water thrown away in waste to season love that of it doth not taste. The sun not yet thy sighs from heaven clears. Thy old groans ring yet in mine ancient ears. Lo, here upon thy cheek the stain doth sit of an old tear that's not washed off yet. And art thou changed? Pronounce this sentence, then. Women may fall when there's no strength in men.
Thou chidst me off for loving Rosaline.
For doting, not for loving, pupil mine.
And badst me bury love.
Not in a grave, to lay one in, another out to have.
I pray thee chide me not, her I love now, doth grace for grace and love for love allow. The other did not so.
Oh, she knew well thy love did read by rote that could not spell. But come, young waverer, come, go with me. In one respect I'll thy assistant be. For this alliance may so happy prove to turn your household's rancor to pure love.
Oh, let us hence. I stand on sudden haste.
Wisely and slow, they stumble that run fast.
Where the devil should this Romeo be? Came he not home tonight?
Not to his father's. I spoke with his man.
Why, that same pale, hard-hearted wench. That Rosaline torments him so that he will sure run mad.
Tybalt, the kinsman to old Capulet, hath sent a letter to his father's house.
A challenge on my life.
Yeah, Romeo will answer it.
Any man that can write may answer a letter.
Nay, he will answer the letter's master how he dares being there.
Alas, poor Romeo, he is already dead.
Huh?
Stabbed. With a white wench's black eye, run through the ear with a love song, the very pin of his heart cleft, with a blind bow-boy's butt shaft. And he is a man to encounter Tybalt?
Why? What is Tybalt?
More than Prince of Cats. Oh, he is the courageous captain of compliments. He fights as using pricksaw, keeps time, distance, and proportion. Rest him his minim rest. One, two, blah! And that third in your bosom. The very butcher of a silk button. A duelist. A duelist.
A gentleman. Of the very first house. Of the first and second cause. Ah, the immortal Passado. The Ponto Reverso. The hey!
The what? The pox! Of such antic, lisping, affecting phantasms. These new tuners of accent.
By Jesu, a very good blade. A very tall man. A very good whore.
Why is not this a lamentable thing, grandsire, that we should be thus afflicted with these strange flies, these fashion mongers, these pound-on-me's, who stand so much in the new form that they cannot sit at ease on the old bench. Oh, their bones, their bones.
Here comes Romeo.
Here comes Romeo!
Without his roe, like a dried herring. Oh, flesh, flesh, how art thou fishified?
Signor Romeo, bonjour. There's a French salutation for your French slop. You gave us the cut of it fairly last night.
Good morrow to you both. What counterfeit did I give you?
The slip, sir, the slip. Can you not conceive?
Oh, pardon, good Mercutio. My business was great, and in such a case as mine, a man may strain curtsy.
That's as much as to say, such a case as yours constrains a man to bow in the hand.
Meaning to curtsy.
Thou hast most kindly hit it.
A most courteous exposition?
Nay, I am the very pink of courtesy.
Pink for flower?
Right.
Why then is my pump well flowered?
Sure, wit. Follow me this jest now. Till thou hast worn out thy pump, that when the single sole of it is worn, the jest may remain after the wearing solely singular.
Oh, single sole jest solely singular for the singleness.
Come between us, good Benvolio. My wits, thank.
Switch and spurs, switch and spurs, or I'll cry a mile.
Nay, about which run the wild goose chase I done. For thou hast more of the wild goose in one of thy wits than I am sure I have in my whole five. Was I with you there for the goose?
Oh, thou was never with me for anything when thou was not there for the goose.
Oh, is not this better than groaning for love? Now art thou sociable, now art thou Romeo. Now art thou what thou art, by art as well as by nature. For this dribbling love is like a great natural that runs lolling up and down
to hide his bauble in a hole.
Stop there! Stop there!
Thou desirest me to stop in my tail against the hair?
Thou wouldst else have made thy tail large.
Now art deceived. I would have made it short, for I was come to the whole depth of my tail, and meant indeed to occupy the argument no longer.
Here's goodly gear.
A sail, a sail!
Two, a shirt and a smock.
And on my fan, Peter.
Good Peter, to hide her face, for her fan's the fairer face.
God ye good morrow, gentlemen.
God ye good e'en, fair gentlewoman.
Is it good e'en?
'Tis no less, I tell you. For the body hand of the dial is now upon the prick of noon.
God, how are you? What a man are you?
One gentlewoman that God hath made himself to mar.
Oh, by my troth, it is well said. For himself to mar, quotha. Gentlemen, can any of you tell me where I may find the young Romeo?
I can tell you, but young Romeo will be older when you have found him than he was when you sought him. I am the youngest of that name for fault of a worse.
You say well.
Is the worst well?
Very well, to keep it. Wisely, wisely.
If you be he, sir, I desire some confidence with you.
She will invite him to some supper.
Aboard, aboard, aboard! So, ho! Oh.
What hast thou found?
No hair, sir. Unless a hair, sir, and a Lenten pie. It is something stale and hoard in it.
Oh,
Romeo, will you come to your father's? We'll to dinner then,
I will follow you.
Farewell, ancient lady. Farewell, lady, 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 an old hair whore.
And an old hair whore is very good meat for length, but a hair that is whore is...
I pray you, sir, what saucy merchant was this that was so full of his ropery?
A gentleman nurse that loves to hear himself talk, and will speak more in a minute than he will stand to in a month.
And if speak anything against me, I'll take him down, and I were lustier than he is, and 20 such jacks. And if I cannot, I'll find those that shall. Scurvy knave! I am none of his flirt gills. I am none of his skeins mates. Now, afore God, I am so vexed that every part about me quivers. scurvy knave.
I pray you, sir, a word. And as I told you, my young lady bid me inquire you out. What she bid me say, I will keep to myself. But first, let me tell you, if you should lead her in a fool's paradise, as they say, it were a very gross kind of behavior, as they say, for the gentlewoman is young. And therefore, if you should deal double with her, truly it were an ill thing to be offered to any gentlewoman and very weak dealing.
Nurse, commend me to thy lady and mistress, I protest unto thee.
Good heart! And in faith, I will tell her as much. Lord, Lord, she will be a joyful woman.
What wilt thou tell her, nurse? Thou dost not mark me.
I will tell her, sir, that you do protest. Which, as I take it, is a gentlemanlike offer.
Bid her devise some means to come to Shrift this afternoon, and there shall she, at Friar Lawrence's cell, be shrived and married. Here is for thy pain.
No, truly, sir, not a penny.
Oh, go to, I say you shall.
This afternoon, sir? Well, she shall be there.
And stay, good nurse, behind the abbey wall. Within this hour, my man shall be with thee and bring thee cords made like a tackled stair, which to the high, to gallant of my joy, must be my convoy in the secret night. Oh. Farewell, be trusty, and I'll quit thy pains.
Oh.
Farewell. Commend me to thy mistress.
Now, God in heaven bless thee. Hark you, sir.
What sayest thou, my dear nurse?
Is your man secret? Did you ne'er hear say two may keep counsel, putting one away?
I warrant thee, my man's as true as steel.
Well, sir, my mistress is as sweet as lady. Lord, Lord, when 'twas a little prating thing. Oh, there is a nobleman in town, one Paris, that would fain lay knife aboard. But she, good soul, had as lief see a toad, a very toad, to see him. I anger her sometimes and tell her that Paris is the proper man, but I'll warrant you, when I say so, she looks as pale as any clout in the versal world.
Commend me to thy lady.
Aye, 1,000 times.
Struck 9 when I did send the nurse. In half an hour she promised to return. Perchance she cannot meet him. That's not so. Oh, she is lame. Love's heralds should be thoughts which 10 times faster glide than the sun's beams, driving back shadows over lowering hills. Therefore do nimble-pinioned doves draw love. And therefore hath the wind-swift Cupid wings. Now is the sun upon the highmost hill of this day's journey, and from 9 till 12 is 3 long hours, and yet she is not come. How had she affections and warm youthful blood? She would be as swift in motion as a ball. My words would bandy her to my sweet love and his to me. But old folks, many feign as they were dead, unwieldy, slow, heavy, and pale as lead.
Oh!
Oh, God, she comes! Oh, honey nurse, what news?
I am aweary. Give me leave of royal fie. How my bones ache. What a jaunce have I.
I would thou hadst my bones and I thy news. Nay, come, I pray thee speak. Good nurse, speak.
Yes, what haste? Can you not stay a while? Do you not see that I am out of breath?
How art thou out of breath when thou hast breath to say to me that thou art out of breath?
Oh.
Is thy news good or bad? Answer to that.
Well, you have made a simple choice. You know not how to choose a man. Romeo? No, not he. Though his face be better than any man's, yet his leg excels all men. And for a hand and a foot and a body, though they be not to be talked on, yet they are past compare. He is not the flower of courtesy, but I'll warrant him as gentle as a lamb. Go thy ways, wench, serve God. What, have you dined at home?
No, no. But all this did I know before. Come, what says he of our marriage? What of that?
Lord, how my head aches. What a head have I. It beats as it would fall in 20 pieces.
Oh.
My back. Go t'other side.
Oh.
Oh, my back, my back. Beshrew your heart for sending me about to catch my death with jouncing up and down.
In faith, I am sorry that thou art not well. Mm-hmm. Sweet, sweet, sweet nurse, tell me, what says my love?
Your love says, like an honest gentleman, and a courteous, and a kind, and a handsome, and I warrant a virtuous. Where is your mother?
Where is my mother? Why, she is within. Where should she be? How oddly thou repliest. Your love says, like an honest gentleman, where is your mother?
Oh, God, lady dear, are you so hot? Mary, come up, I trow. Is this the poultice for my aching bones? Henceforward, do your messages yourself.
Here's such a coil. Come, what says Romeo?
Have you got leave to go to shrift today?
I have.
Then hie you hence to Friar Lawrence cell. There says a husband to make you a wife.
No comes a wanton blood up in your cheeks.
There being scarlet straight at any news. Hie you to church. I must another way to fetch a ladder by the which your love must climb a bird's nest soon when it is dark. I am the drudge and toil in your delight. But you shall bear the burden soon at night. Go, I'll to dinner. Hie you to the cell.
Hie to high fortune, honest nurse. Farewell.
So smile the heavens upon this holy act, that after hours with sorrow chide us not.
Amen. Amen.
But come what sorrow can, it cannot countervail the exchange of joy that one short minute gives me in her sight. Do thou but close our hands with holy words, then love devouring death do what he dare. It is enough that I may but call her mine.
These violent delights have violent ends. Therefore love moderately.
Long love doth so. Too swift arrives as tardy as too slow. Here comes the lady. Oh, so light a foot will ne'er wear out the everlasting flint.
Good even to my ghostly confessor.
Romeo shall thank thee, daughter, for us both.
As much to him, else is his thanks too much.
Ah, Juliet, if the measure of thy joy be heaped like mine, and that thy skill be more to blazon it, then sweeten with thy breath this neighbor air, and let rich music's tongue unfold the imagined happiness that both receive in either by this dear encounter.
They are but beggars that can count their worth. But my true love is grown to such excess, I cannot sum up some of half my wealth.
Come with me, and we will make short work. For by your leaves, you shall not stay alone till Holy Church incorporate two in one.
I pray thee, good Mercutio, let's retire. The day is hot. The Capels are abroad, and if we meet, we shall not scape a brawl. For now these hot days is the mad blood stirring.
I would like one of these fellows, that when he enters the confines of a tavern, claps me his sword upon the table and says, God, send me no need of thee. And by the operation of the second cup, draws him on the drawer. And indeed, there is no need.
Am I like such a fellow?
Come, come! Thou art as hot a jack in thy mood as any in Italy. And as soon moved to be moody, and as soon moody to be moved.
And what to?
Nay, and there were two such we should have none shortly, for one would kill the other. Thou wilt quarrel with a man that hath a hair more or less in his beard than thou hast. Thou wilt quarrel with a man for cracking nuts, having no other reason but that thou hast hazel eyes. What eye but such an eye would spy out such a quarrel? Thy head is as full of quarrels as an egg is full of meat, and yet thy head hath been beaten as addle as an egg for quarreling. Thou hast quarreled with a man for coughing in the street because he hath wakened thy dog that hath lain asleep in the sun, and yet thou wilt tutor me for quarreling.
And I were so apt to quarrel as thou art, any man should... By my head, here comes the Capulets.
By my heel, I care not.
Hold me close, or I shall speak to them. Gentlemen, good mean. A word with one of you.
And but one word with one of us? Couple it with something. Make it a word and a blow.
You shall find me apt enough to that, sir, and you will give me occasion.
Could you not take some occasion without giving?
Mercutio, thou consortest with Romeo.
Consort? What? Dost thou make us minstrels? And thou make minstrels of us look to hear nothing but discords. Here's my fiddlestick. Here she'll make you dance. Zoos, consort.
We talk here in the public haunt of men. Either withdraw into some private place or reason coldly of your grievances, or else depart. Here all eyes gaze on us.
Men's eyes were made to look, and let them gaze. I will not budge for no man's pleasure, I.
Well, peace be with you, sir. Here comes my man.
And I'll be hanged, sir, if he wears your livery.
Romeo, the love I bear thee can afford no better term than this. Thou art a villain.
Tybalt, the reason that I have to love thee doth much excuse the appertaining rage to such a greeting. Villain am I none. Therefore, farewell. I see thou knowest me not.
Boy! This shall not excuse the injuries thou hast done me. Therefore, turn and draw.
I protest I never injured thee, but love thee more than thou canst devise, till thou shalt know the reason of my love. And so, good Capulet, which name I tender as dearly as mine own, be satisfied.
Oh, calm, dishonorable, vile submission. Alistair Cutter carries it away.
Tybalt!
You rat catcher! Will you walk?
What would thou have with me?
Good King of Cats, nothing. But one of your nine lives that I mean to make bold withal, and as you shall use me hereafter, dry beat the rest of the eight. Will you pluck your sword out of this pilcher by the ears? Make haste, lest mine be about your ears, everything else.
I am for you.
General Mercutio, put thy rapier up.
Come, sir. Your Pathalo.
Hey! Oh, we'll beat down our weapons. Gentlemen, for shame, forbear. The prince expects to forbid this banding by the Roman priests. Mercutio! Hold! Mercutio!
Wait! You all away!
I am hurt. Plague of both your houses, I am sped. Is he gone and hath nothing?
What? Art thou her?
Yeah, scratch, a scratch. Mary, 'tis enough. Where's my page? Go, villain. Fetch a surgeon.
Courage, man. The hurt cannot be much.
No. 'Tis not so deep as a well, nor so wide as a church door, but 'tis enough. 'Twill serve. And look for me tomorrow, and you shall find me a grave man. I am peppered, I warrant, for this world. A plague of both your houses.
Jones!
A dog, a rat, a mouse, a cat, to scratch a man to death. A braggart, a rogue, a villain that fights by the book of arithmetic. Why, the devil came you between us. I was hurt under your arm.
I thought all for the best.
Help me into some house, Benvolio, or I shall faint. A plague of both your houses. They have made worms meat of me. Oh, I have it, and soundly, too. Your houses!
This gentleman, the prince is near ally, my very friend, hath got this mortal wound in my behalf, my reputation stained with Tybalt's slander, Tybalt that an hour hath been my cousin. Ah, oh, sweet Juliet, thy beauty hath made me effeminate, and in my temper soften valor's steel.
Oh, Romeo! Romeo!
Brave Mercutio is dead.
This day's black fate on more days doth depend.
This but begins the woe, others must end.
Here comes the furious Tybalt back again.
Again in triumph and Mercutio slain. Away to heaven, respective lenity, and fire-eyed fury be my conduct now. Now, Tybalt, take that villain back again that late thou gavest me. For Mercutio's soul is but a little ways above our heads, staying for thine to keep him company. Either thou or I or both must go with him.
Thou wretched boy that didst consort him here, shalt with him hence.
This shall determine that.
Romeo, away! Be gone! The citizens are up and Tybalt slain! Stand not amazed. The prince will doom thee death if thou art taken.
Oh, I am fortune's fool.
Why dost thou stay? Hence, begone, away!
Where are the vile beginners of this fray?
Oh, noble prince, I can discover all the unlucky manage of this fatal brawl. There lies the man slain by young Romeo that slew thy kinsman, brave Mercutio.
My cousin, oh, my brother's child, oh, prince, oh, husband, oh, the blood is spilled of my dear kinsman. Prince, as thou art true, for blood of ours, shed blood of Montague, oh, cousin.
Benvolio, who began this bloody fray?
Tybalt, here slain, whom Romeo's hand did slay.
He is a kinsman to the Montague. Affection makes him false. He speaks not true. Some 20 of them fought in this black strife, and all those 20 could but kill one life. I beg for justice, which thou, prince, must give. Romeo slew Tybalt. Romeo must not live.
Romeo slew him. He slew Mercutio. Who now the price of his dear blood doth owe?
Not Romeo, prince. He was Mercutio's friend. His fault concludes but what the law should end, the life of Tybalt.
And for that offense, immediately we do exile him hence. What? I have an interest in your hate's proceeding. My blood for your rude brawls doth lie a-bleeding. But I'll amorce you with so strong a fine that you shall all repent the loss of mine. I will be deaf to pleading and excuses. Nor tears nor prayers shall purchase out abuses, therefore use none. Let Romeo hence in haste, else when he is found, that hour is his last. Bear hence these bodies and attend our will. Mercy but murders, pardoning those that kill.
Lodging, such a wagoner as Phaeton would whip you to the west and bring in cloudy night immediately. Spread thy close curtain, love, performing night, that runaway's eyes may wink, and Romeo leap to these arms, untalked of and unseen. Lovers can see to do their amorous rites by their own beauties, or if love be blind, it best agrees with night. Come, civil knight, thou sober-suited matron all in black, and learn me how to lose a winning match, played for a pair of stainless maidenhoods. Hood my unmanned blood baiting in my cheeks with thy black mantle, till strange love grow bold, think true love acted simple modesty. Come, knight, come, Romeo, come, thou day in night, for thou wilt lie upon the wings of night, whiter than new snow upon a raven's back. Come, gentle night, come, loving black-browed night, give me my Romeo, and when I shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars, And he shall make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night and pay no worship to the garish sun. Oh, I have bought the mansion of a love, but not possessed it, and though I am sold, not yet enjoyed. Oh, so tedious is this day, as is the night before some festival, to an impatient child that hath new robes and may not wear them. Oh, here comes my nurse, and she brings news, and every tongue that speaks but Romeo's name speaks heavenly eloquence. Now, nurse, what news? What hast thou there? The cords that Romeo bid thee fetch?
Aye, the cords.
Ay me, what news? Why dost thou wring thy hands?
Oh, the day is dead, is dead, is dead. We are undone, lady, we are undone. Alack, the day is gone, is killed, is dead.
Can heaven be so envious?
Romeo can, though heaven cannot. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, whoever would have thought it? Romeo!
What devil art thou that dost torment me thus? If he be slain, say I, or if not, no. Brief sounds determine of my weal or woe.
I saw the wound. I saw it with mine eyes. Oh, God save the mark. Here, on his manly breast. A piteous corse, a bloody piteous corse, pale, pale as ashes, all bedaubed in blood, all in gore, blood, I swooned at the sight.
Oh, break my heart. Poor bankrupt, break it one.
Oh, Tybalt, Tybalt, the best friend I had. Oh, courteous Tybalt, honest gentleman, that ever I should live to see thee dead.
What storm is this that blows so contrary? Is Romeo slaughtered? And is Tybalt dead? My dearest cousin and my dearer lord. Then, dreadful trumpet, sound the general doom. For who is living if those two are gone?
Tybalt is gone and Romeo banished. Romeo that killed him, he is banished.
Oh, God! Romeo's hand shed Tybalt's blood.
It did, alas, the day it did.
Oh, serpent heart, hid with a flowering face. Did ever dragon keep so fair a cave? A damned saint, an honorable villain. Was ever book containing such vile matter so fairly bound? Oh, that deceit should dwell in such a gorgeous palace.
There's no trust, no faith, no honesty in men. All perjured, all forsworn, all not, all dissemblers. Oh, bring me some aqua vitae, these griefs, these woes, these sorrows make me old. Shame come to Romeo.
Blistered be thy tongue for such a wish. He was not born to shame. Upon his brow shame is ashamed to sit. Oh, what a beast was I to chide at him.
Will you speak well of him that killed your cousin?
Shall I speak ill of him that is my husband? Oh, poor my lord. What tongue shall smooth thy name when I, thy 3 hours' wife, have mangled it? But wherefore, villain, didst thou kill my cousin? That villain cousin would have killed my husband. Back, foolish tears, back to your native spring. My husband lives, that Tybalt would have slain, and Tybalt's dead, that would have slain my husband. All this is comfort. Wherefore weep I then? Some word there was, worser than Tybalt's death that murdered me. Oh, I would forget it fain, but oh, it presses to my memory like damned guilty deeds to sinners' minds. Tybalt is dead, and Romeo banished. Romeo is banished. To speak that word is father, mother, Tybalt, Romeo, Juliet, all slain, all dead. Oh. Romeo is banished. There is no end, no limit, measure, bound in that word's death. No words can that woe sound.
Where is my father and my mother, nurse?
Weeping and wailing over Tybalt's corpse. Will you go to them? I will bring you thither.
Wash they his wounds with tears? Mine shall be spent when theirs are dry, for Romeo's banishment. Take up those cords. Poor ropes. You are beguiled, both you and I. For Romeo is exiled. He made you for a highway to my bed. But I, a maid, die maiden widowed. Come, cords. Come, nurse. I'll to my wedding bed. And death, not Romeo, take my maidenhead.
Hie to your chamber. I'll find Romeo to comfort you. I wot well where he is. Hark ye, your Romeo will be here at night. I'll to him. He is hid at Lauren's cell.
Oh, find him. Give this ring to my true knight and bid him come to take his last farewell.
Romeo, come forth. Come forth, thou fearful man.
Father, what news?
What is the prince's doom? What sorrow craves acquaintance at my hand that I yet know not?
Too familiar is my dear son with such sour company. I bring thee tidings of the prince's doom.
What less than doomsday is the prince's doom?
A gentler judgment vanished from his lips. Not body's death, but body's banishment.
Banishment? Be merciful, say death. Our exile hath more terror in his look, much more than death. Do not say banishment.
Hence from Verona art thou banished. Be patient, for the world is broad and wide.
There is no world without Verona walls, but purgatory, torture, hell itself. Hence banished is banished from the world, and world's exile is death, and banished is death misturned. Calling death banishment, thou cutst my head off with a golden axe and smilest upon the stroke that murders me.
Oh, deadly sin. Oh, rude unthankfulness. Thy fault our law calls death. But the kind prince, taking thy part, hath rushed aside the law, turning that black word death to banishment. This is dear mercy, and thou seest it not.
Is torture, not mercy. Heaven is here where Juliet lives, and every cat and dog and little mouse, every unworthy thing live here in heaven and may look upon her, but Romeo may not. He is banished. And sayest thou yet that exile is not death? Hast thou no poison mixed, no sharp ground knife, no sudden mean of death, though ne'er so mean, but banished to kill me, banished all, friar? The damned use that word in hell. Howling attends it. How hast thou the heart, being a divine, a ghostly confessor, a sin absolver, and my friend professed to mangle me with that word banished?
Thou fond madman, hear me a little speak.
Oh, thou wilt speak again of banishment.
I'll give thee armor to keep off that word. Adversity's sweet milk, philosophy to comfort thee, though thou art banished.
Yet banished. Hang up philosophy, unless philosophy can make a Juliet. Displant a town, reverse a prince's doom. It helps not, it prevails not. Talk no more.
Oh, then I see that madmen have no ears.
How should they when wise men have no eyes?
Let me dispute with thee of thy estate.
Thou canst not speak of that thou dost not feel. Wert thou as young as I, Juliet, thy love, an hour but married, Tybalt murdered, doting like me, and like me banished, then mightst thou speak. Then mightst thou tear thy hair and fall upon the ground as I do now, taking the measure of an unmade grave.
Arise, one knocks. Good Romeo, hide thyself. Hark how they knock.
Who's there?
Romeo, arise, thou shalt be taken.
Stay a while.
Stand up! Run to my study!
By and by! God's will, what simpleness is this? I come! Who knocks so hard? Whence come you? What is your will?
Let me come in and you shall know my errand. I come from Lady Juliet.
Welcome here. Oh, holy fire, oh, tell me, holy fire, where is my lady's lord? Where's Romeo?
There on the ground with his own tears made drunk.
Oh, he is even in my mistress' case. Just in her case. Even so, lies she blubbering and weeping, weeping and blubbering. Stand up, stand up, stand and you be a man. For Juliet's sake, for her sake, rise and stand.
Nurse!
Oh, sir, oh, sir! Death's the end of all!
Speak thou, Juliet. How is it with her? Does she not think me an old murderer now that I have stained the childhood of our joy with blood removed but little of her own? Where is she? And how doth she? And what says my concealed lady to our cancelled love?
Oh, she says nothing, sir, but weeps and weeps and now falls on her bed and then starts up and Tybalt calls and then on Romeo cries and then down falls again.
That name shot from the deadly level of a gun did murder her as that name's cursed hand murdered her kinsman. Oh, tell me, friar, tell me in what vile part of this anatomy doth my name lodge. Tell me that I may sack the hateful mansion.
Hold thy desperate hand!
Art thou a man? By my holy order, I thought thy disposition better tempered. Hast thou slain Tybalt? Wilt thou slay thyself and slay thy lady that in thy life lives by doing damned hate upon thyself? What? Rouse thee, man! Thy Juliet is alive! For whose dear sake thou wast but lately dead! There art thou happy! Tybalt would kill thee, but thou slewest Tybalt! There art thou happy! The law that threatened death becomes thy friend and turns it to exile! There art thou happy! A pack of blessings light upon thy back! Happiness courts thee in her best array! But like a misbehaved and sullen wench, thou pounced upon thy fortune and thy love. Take heed, for such die miserable. Go, get thee to thy love as was decreed. Ascend her chamber hence and comfort her. But look thou stay not till the watch be set, for then thou canst not pass to Mantua, where thou shalt live till we can find a time to blaze your marriage. Reconcile your friends. Beg pardon of the prince and call thee back with 200,000 times more joy than thou wentst forth in lamentation. Go before, nurse. Commend me to thy lady. Bid her hasten all the house to bed, which heavy sorrow makes them apt unto. Romeo is coming.
Oh, Lord, I could have stayed here all the night to hear good counsel. Oh, what learning is. My lord, I will tell my lady you will come.
Do so, and bid my sweet prepare to chide.
Here, sir, a ring she bid me give you, sir. Hie you, make haste, for it grows very late.
How well my comfort is revived by this.
Go hence, good night, and here stands all your state. Either be gone before the watch be set, or by the break of day disguised from hence. Sojourn in Mantua. I'll find out your man, and he shall signify from time to time every good hap that chances you here. Give me your hand. 'Tis late. Farewell. Good night.
But that a joy, past joy, calls out on me. It were a grief so brief to part with thee. Farewell.
Fallen out, sir, so unluckily that we have had no time to move our daughter. Look you, she loved her kinsman Tybalt dearly. And so did I. Well, we were born to die. 'Tis very late. She'll not come down tonight. I promise you, but for your company, I would have been abed an hour ago.
These times of woe afford no times to woo. Madam, good night. Commend me to your daughter.
I will.
and know her mind early tomorrow. Tonight she's mewed up to her heaviness.
Sir Paris, I will make a desperate tender of my child's love. I think she will be ruled in all respects by me. Nay, more, I doubt it not. Wife, go you to her ere you go to bed. Acquaint her here of my son Paris' love, and bid her, mark you me, on Wednesday next. But soft, what day is this?
A Monday, my lord.
Monday? Well, Wednesday is too soon. A Thursday, let it be. A Thursday, tell her. She shall be married to this noble earl. Will you be ready? Do you like this haste? We'll keep no great ado, a friend or two, for hark you, Tybalt being slain so late, it may be thought we held him carelessly, being our kinsman, if we revel much. Therefore we'll have some half a dozen friends, and there an end. But what say you to Thursday?
My lord, I would that Thursday were tomorrow.
Well, get you gone, a Thursday be it then. Go you to Juliet, ere you go to bed. Prepare her, wife, against this wedding day. Farewell, my lord. Light to my chamber, ho! For me it is so very late that we may call it early by and by. Good night!
Just heard Romeo and Juliet, directed by Miles Potter, with original music composed by Marc de Sormeau. In the cast, you heard Graham Abbey as Romeo and Claire Julian as Juliet. With Wayne Best as Mercutio, Lally Cadeau as the nurse, Tim Campbell as Abram and the watchman, Sarah Dodd as Lady Montague, John Dolan as Montague and the musician, Julie Donovan as Lady Capulet. Keith DeNichol as Friar Lawrence, Aaron Franks as Gregory and the Apothecary, Patrick Galligan as Paris, David Kirby as Friar John, Raymond O'Neill as the Prince, Caleb Marshall as Benvolio, Miles Potter as Peter, Nicholas Van Burick as Tybalt, Scott Wentworth as Capulet, and Jeffrey Wetch as Samson and Balthazar. The recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott and Marc de Sormeau, with special thanks to David Campbell of the Stratford Festival. The associate producers were Rosie Fernandez and Colleen Woods. Romeo and Juliet was produced by Barbara Worthy. If you would like to send us a letter, please address it to Sunday Showcase, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. And send emails to sunshowcase@cbc.ca. That's it for tonight. Just a reminder that this program will be aired again tomorrow on Monday Night Playhouse at 9:05 p.m. on CBC Radio 2. I'm Damiano Pietropaolo for Sunday Showcase. Good night.